This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon. We've got a full week of programs planned, other than Thursday, of course, when we'll have a special on during the noon hour. Today, we're talking with Douglas County Commissioner Tim Freeman. Want to hit a number of things, but the focus at the front end was the results of the recent advisory vote in the November general election, asking Douglas County citizens if they wanted to see a full restoration of services at the Roseburg VA. That passed with about 95%, I think it was, 93-95% of the vote. And Commissioner Freeman, obviously a result that probably a lot of people expected, but maybe even more so in the affirmative than a lot of people thought.
Good afternoon, Kyle. Thank you for having me on. Yeah, the results so far, and I don't think we've got the final yet, but the 92.61%, 47,633 votes yes.
Now, obviously, this was just an advisory measure. Talk about why, as commissioners, you wanted to get this on the ballot.
So really, this goes all the way back to 2010 or so when I was a state representative. This veterans group made me aware that the decisions at the VA hospital and through the VA system were to remove some of the services from the hospital, move them to other areas of the state, move some of those services out into the community. So even way back then, a group was formed to start trying to save these services for the veterans who literally were promised medical services as part of their protecting and serving our country. So back when I was a state legislator, we passed a House joint memorial that really was a position of the state of Oregon as to where they believe that the services should be, and that was a full restoration. And over time, there's been quite a bit of investment at the VA hospital in Roseburg as far as facilities go, but then the services and the basic core services have continued to either be moved out into the community or moved to other parts of the state. And as that old group sort of was told things were going to be fine and it didn't happen, a new group was formed early this summer, this last summer, and it's now run by the Vietnam Veterans Association. And they, one of the meetings I was attending, they had mentioned the fact that previously they'd gone out and gathered a bunch of signatures, and they were able to get over 12,000 signatures, and that made a big impression on the federal elected officials. So understanding the difficulty of going out and getting signatures, and they thought maybe they'd go to the fair. It was getting close to the fair. I had suggested that we put an advisory question on that could give them that same sort of community feedback or position of our community as to where they think the services should be. So that's sort of how that came about. And again, this group that's working on it is really the lead of trying to find a solution. We as commissioners simply are trying to find ways to help them.
Last Monday, in fact, a week ago today, we had Bill Duncan and Jim Little in talking about that. And they said since the result of the election that it was like crickets in terms of any kind of response from any elected levels of government, especially Washington, D.C., and even in the state of Oregon.
Yeah, so really that's changed. So I know they've received phone calls from Representative Bence's office, and I've actually seen some emails back and forth to that effect. Federal representative from Congressional District 4, elect Val Hoyle, is just putting her group together, but I worked with her when I was in the Oregon legislature, and I'm convinced that she'll want to understand this issue. And I know that Senator Wyden's office has reached out to the group and wants to start having more of a conversation. And, you know, I think those are all good starts. And that was the challenge they were having as they were communicating. The veterans group was communicating with the VISN 20, who runs the VAs for this area. And really not hearing anything from them and really not getting the type of communication they want out of the local VA. I will tell you, at last week's Veterans Forum meeting, the interim director and assistant director were both in attendance. So I do believe that the question that we asked, even though it's non-binding, it certainly sends a message that, you know, the people of this community of Douglas County, and I would guess in surrounding communities that rely on the VA, want these services available for our veterans.
And where do we go forward with this? I mean, because you're talking about one VA out of many around the country and policy that comes out of Washington, yeah, D.C., so it seems like there's a long road ahead here.
Well, really what I've advised the group, and they know this, is that they need a congressional champion. So this is a federal issue, and we have federal elected officials. The new Congressional District 2 boundary comes right up almost to the city limits of Roseburg. It's a lot of southern Douglas County, most of eastern Douglas County. The catchment area for this VA includes those southern counties in Oregon. It includes over at the coast and even some stuff like Klamath Falls. So that area is all Congressman Bence's area. The new congressional member, Val Hoyle, she'll have, you know, the rest of Douglas County and the northern part of the catchment area for the VA. So I think having, you know, those two Congress folks being supportive, along with our senator, maybe both of our senators, can go a long ways. And really what I would advise or what I would ask them to do is to do a nationwide study or report on rural VA health center services. And I think what they will find is that the pay, they, you know, the differential between urban and rural pay for these VA centers in some areas may make sense. But in areas like Douglas County, where the cost of living is, you know, not as low as some other rural areas, they need to make sure the pay is adequate for the employees that work at the VA. I think that's been a big problem here at the Roseburg VA Center, is recruiting staff and keeping and retaining staff. At least one component of that is the differential in pay between what the more urban VA hospitals pay and what the rural ones pay. And I think that's a nationwide problem.
Now, one of the things that the veterans have told me is that there are, as a lot of services have been shifted out into the community, or folks are asked to go north or south, that it's meant less employees, and they fear it's going to be hard to get people here, given the, you know, even if you change the policy today, it's kind of a tricky road, especially for the higher level doctors to be convinced to come, yeah, to Douglas County.
So I'm on the boards of three different nonprofits that recruit doctors to Douglas County, and it is difficult, but the federal government has a huge advantage that our local private nonprofits don't have, and they have the ability to spend money. And I hate to say it that bluntly, but the fact is, if Congress and the federal government want to fulfill their promise to these veterans, a promise they made, they could do it. They spend, you know, hundreds of millions and billions of dollars helping other militaries in other countries. There's no reason why they can't do it for the veterans in this country if they wanted to. And I'm not going to, you know, me personally, I'm not a veteran. I don't get services there. But I am really going to be fussy about the excuse, well, you know, we can't hire people. We can't retain people. Well, my question would be, why not? You know, what's missing? And if it's not the pay, if it's housing, you know, the VA system can build housing. If it is management staff that is inferior at, you know, rural VA centers versus urban centers, they need to fix that. There's no excuse that won't, you know, that they can't fix. The other part about moving into the community, and I think we have great community care here. I think our, for the size of our community, our medical folks, and again, I'm on the board of directors for three of the nonprofits that provide health care in our community. So I'm very supportive of the work that they do, but there is specific veteran issues that sometimes community health care doesn't understand. Just a couple examples of that is the Agent Orange effect on people and how that affects different parts of people's illnesses. So, you know, that's military specific. Most recently, they've discovered that a lot of the burning that was done, as far as debris and things that were burnt in some other war theaters, is causing very specific military illness that our VA system knows about, that sometimes it's hard for community care to keep up with.
All right, we're going to continue to follow that topic. We'll take a break on Inside Douglas County and come back with Commissioner Tim Freeman and cover some other county topics. The interview will be a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1246 Inside Douglas County News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson at 1. Tomorrow, we talk to Savannah Jones about Sunrise Enterprises and detail some current needs that they have. County Commissioner Tim Freeman on with us today. We've covered the VA topic. Let's move to some other ones. And a number of things going on in county government. I understand that fairly recently there was oral arguments in the ONC resource management plan. Commissioner, update us on that.
Yeah, so I know there's been a lot of different lawsuits around timber management going on. So this is the lawsuit that was filed in 2016 about the federal ONC lands, and it was filed in federal court in Washington, D.C. It was a lawsuit about managing the land, not a monetary. It wasn't a sue for money. It was a sue for managing appropriately. So that case was filed against the federal government by the Association of ONC Counties and also an industry group called AFRC. Separate cases, but same topic. So that worked its way through the system. The counties and the industry won, and it was deemed that the 2016 resource management plan put together by the BLM to manage the ONC lands was not sufficient. It did not meet the ONC Act. So the previous administration, the Trump administration, I met with the Secretary of Interior, and he had indicated that they really had no desire to appeal it, that they agreed that the plan didn't meet the requirement of the law. And then, of course, we had a change in administration, and on the very last day to appeal, the federal government appealed that, and it went to the Court of Appeals in Washington, D.C. Last Wednesday was the oral argument. So all the written briefing had already been done prior to that. So on the 16th at 6:30 a.m. our time, 9:30 D.C. time, the case was, they did oral arguments, and it was very short amount of time. They give them 24 minutes to argue the case. Most of that case, since it's a matter of law, not a matter of fact, will be done looking at the briefing. There was almost 7,000 pages of written briefing as part of that case. There was a three-panel judge. I will tell you, two of the judges got caught up in the continued argument of either sustained yield management or protecting watersheds, recreation, and economic viability of the community. And the fact is, it's not either or, it's both. If done correctly, sustained yield, which means never harvesting more than what grows, can create the other values and many other values that aren't even in the act. So two of the judges came in with sort of that one or the other mindset. And then the third judge understood that you could do all of it. So it'll be interesting. The attorneys, there were three different attorneys that argued on our side of the case. The industry had two and we had one from the counties. And we'll see. It was pretty obvious. A couple of the judges were, two of the judges were almost sounded like they had made up their mind. But regardless, we had always believed this is a big enough case that it's likely to go to the Supreme Court. So we'll continue to monitor that. We likely won't get a ruling until springtime. You know, it just takes a long time for these courts to work through all the legal questions and make a final ruling. We do have the opportunity, if we don't like the ruling of the three panels of judges, we can request that the entire court take a look at it. And if we're on the losing side of that, we will do that.
Next topic. Last week you had Rural Health Day, and a lot of attention given to that by the commissioner's office.
Well, Kyle, as you know, we've been doing these proclamations about all the groups and organizations and people in our county that do these wonderful things all the time. And of course, throughout the pandemic, many of those things continued to happen and people were out doing good stuff. Well, this group was really kind of close to home for us because our public health network and the work the commissioners do with public health, working with the nonprofit DPHN, and really the collaboration with all the health organizations that we get to be involved in, it gave us a chance to highlight that. We had some really great organizations come forward, and it gave us a chance to thank all those healthcare workers, healthcare providers, the organizations, and others out there that are working hard every single day to try to provide for better health for our community. And that is a, you know, a really important part of what goes on in Douglas County every single day.
And as well, tied in with that, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer picked up a big honor recently.
Yeah, so DPHN, Teresa over there and their team, Vanessa, had this idea of nominating Dr. Bob for this Rural Health Award the state does every year. And, of course, they asked us to put a letter in, and we did. The commissioners did and other people around the community. And he won that award. It's pretty remarkable. He did one of those a year, and he got a chance to be recognized for his work, not just throughout the pandemic, but his work as a pediatrician and everything that he does around his job as a doctor and a healthcare administrator and public health officer. So really a special thing for Dr. Bob.
The congressional district boundaries changing, as you mentioned earlier, means that Representative Bentz will have a lot of the county, the southern, the eastern portion. And given the fact that you work together in the legislature, it sounds like you think this will be a good thing for Douglas County and a connection between your office and his.
Yeah, so we've already been working with Congressman Bentz through my office on the ONC issue. There's currently ONC lands in his district. As he picks up, you know, more of Douglas County, he'll pick up more of ONC lands, but he'll also pick up other issues that are important to Douglas County. So it'll be nice to expand sort of the scope of those things. Actually, Congressman Bentz has been fantastic working on this illegal marijuana cartel problem that we have, and he has asked at times for photos and explained, wants to be explained, he wants to learn the impact of the community. You know, he also has Josephine in Jackson County, so he's wanted to, you know, hear it from a regional's perspective, and he's sort of been lead on that. And Congresswoman-elect Val Hoyle is also somebody that I worked with in the legislature, and then she became the labor commissioner, and I've worked with her in that role. So, you know, again, we'll be reaching out to her office on these federal issues. And, you know, part of the role as a county commissioner and all three of the commissioners is, you know, having relationships and working with our state and federal elected officials on what's going on. Half of our county is owned and managed by the federal government, over half. So, you know, all those issues that are federal issues, we have to work with those folks and make, you know, the issues that we're working on known to them so they can help us resolve them.
All right. There's some other things we could talk about, but basically out of time for this program. We'll connect and hit some of those things at another time. County Commissioner Tim Freeman, thanks for being on.
Happy Thanksgiving. You take care.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.